Hey, good morning. Before I jump in and get started, I just want to read our text for this morning, which is in John 15. It's verses 1 through 8. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes, and he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you, just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself, unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. You pray with me real quick. Father, we are grateful for the opportunity to come this morning and worship you and hear from you. And God, that's what we ask right now, that you would speak to us through this message, through this text. It's in your son's holy name we pray. Amen. You know, sometimes God orchestrates things that just work out better than we could plan them. We've been in a kind of a mini series of this greater series of Follow Me. A couple weeks ago, Kevin preached about fear, the idea of follow me, you don't have to live in fear. And last week it was follow me, you don't have to worry, kind of invitations that Jesus extends to us as we follow him. And today we're talking about the invitation that he gives us to follow me. I want a relationship with you. You know, I think Marvin hit it on the head with his communion meditation, right? That idea of friendship and the relationship with his daughter. That's really what God wants from us, is a relationship. As I was thinking about this week, there's a lot of different levels of relationships that we have, right? We record our sermons to put them on Facebook, and our internet is like half a step above dial-up, and so we can't actually live stream, and I can't even upload it afterwards from here. So on Monday mornings, I usually go into Precision to put the sermon up online, and because I'm there often, in a very, very basic way, I have a relationship with the baristas in there. They see me at 9 o'clock or 8:30 or whatever, and I just get a house coffee and go to the same seat that I always sit in, and I don't know their name. They probably don't know my name unless they look at my debit card, but I see them and they see me and they know I get my coffee on Monday mornings. On a lot of different level, we have deeper relationships with people. I have a picture, actually, of one of those types of relationships. This was taken a few years ago at my wedding. These are some of my groomsmen. And these three guys with a few others, at one point in my life, I was probably closer to them than almost anyone else. These are guys I went to school with. We lived in the dorm together. We lived in an apartment together, some of us after college. We had dinner. We played video games. We went on road trips. We were tight at one point. And those relationships changed, though, over the years, right? I haven't seen some of them in a few years. We try to keep in touch. We pray for each other's ministries. But it's not really the same. They've never met my kids. I've never met Shane's kids. We try to talk whenever something cool happens in sports, and it's just not the same, though. We still love each other. If they called me and needed me, I would drop whatever to go help them if I could. And the same thing is true of them. They would help me if I needed to, but it's really never going to be the same that it was 10 years ago. And then beyond that, we have deeper relationships than that, right? I have relationships with my family that is just so much deeper than that ever was and what it is now with those guys. I come home at the end of the day and, man, I want to know how their day was. I want to know from Elisha, like, man, what did you play with? What did you do today? What fun did you have while I was gone? And I care deeply about every single aspect of their day, right? I want to know them, know what they care about, know what they like, know what their concerns are and their fears are, because I desire to have that relationship with them. And I think somewhere within that range, typically our relationship with God falls. Maybe for you, your relationship with God is kind of a once a week thing. You come here and you know a little bit about God. He knows your coffee order. But there's really not much beyond that. Maybe you used to be a lot closer to God. At one time, you had a pretty good relationship, but that's faded somewhat. And now it's kind of more of this relationship where when I need God, I call on him. I pray, he helps me. But we're really not that close. And hopefully your relationship looks much like the third one, where it's every day I want to experience God. I want to learn from him. I want him to hear from me. And so I do everything I can to build that relationship and grow that relationship and have that connection with him. See, really before we go any farther, I want us to think about this idea that it's pretty amazing that God wants a relationship with us. That's something we talk about in church a lot, that idea. But I think if we pause and think about that, that's pretty incredible, right? I think on some level we could say, well, yeah, it's somewhat understandable that God would want to save us. I mean, because of our sin, we're hopeless without him, we're lost, and there's no chance that we would ever be able to have salvation, to get to heaven and be with God. On some level, we can understand a God who would maybe look down and say, okay, I need to save those people. But to go even beyond that and think, I need to save them because they can't save themselves, but I need to save them because I want to know them. The God who spoke life into existence out of nothing. The God who parted the sea so that his people could cross it. The God who stopped the sun in the sky, who told the wind and the waves to calm, who healed the leper and the blind, the God who called Lazarus out of a grave, looks at you and I, says, I want to know you. That is truly an amazing thing. And I think what's even more amazing than that is that sometimes we don't reciprocate that feeling. When we have that awesome Almighty God reach out and say, hey, I want to know you, how often are we content just to say, that's okay, God. I don't really want to know you that much. I mean, I'll spend some time with you occasionally. I think it's incredible that we don't have the desire, and I'm speaking of myself as well, that at 6 o'clock when I wake up sometimes, I'm like, man, I could get out of bed and go get into the Word, but my pillow feels pretty good. Or whenever it's the end of the day and I'm tired and I just think, man, I missed it this morning. I could get back into the Word. I could spend some time in prayer before I go to sleep, but man, it's been a long day. It feels good just to kind of sit on the couch and turn on the TV and not have to think about anything for a little bit. Church, we have a God who wants to hear from us, wants to get to know us. I wonder how often we reciprocate that feeling. In our passage, it gives us some indicators of what that looks like to have a relationship with God, what our life will reflect if we are in that third stage where we're trying to really get to know him and learn his character and talk to him and be in his word. Verse 1 of the passage we read says this, "I am the true vine." And as soon as Jesus would have said that, his disciples would have really perked up. See, in the Old Testament, that is a word, vine, that is used often of God's people. He refers to them all the time as a vine. And the idea is that they have a relationship with him, a special relationship that the nation of Israel did. But every time it mentions it, it's actually a judgment a little bit, because God is, as he's referencing them, saying, you have this relationship, but you're always turning away from me. You're always turning your back on me. And you think just because you are this special group that you're fine, but you really don't know me and you're really not following me. I wonder if we fall into that trap sometimes as well too. See, it goes beyond just saying a prayer sometime in your life. It goes beyond just a relationship that maybe your parents have with Jesus and you don't really, but you feel like you're okay because they love God. Maybe for some people, they think just because we live in America, God loves us, and so, man, I'm good. I have this special bond with God, right? But none of those things give us a close connection, a close bond with God. It goes way beyond that. And so when they would have heard that, and Jesus says, I am the true vine, not just I am the vine, they would have thought, okay, well, what is he talking about here? And here's kind of the context of this passage. This is just hours before Jesus is about to go to the cross. And he's here with his disciples, and he knows what's coming. He knows they don't really understand what's about to happen. I've tried to tell them that I'm going to leave, but they're about to be really confused, and they have no idea what is coming in the next few hours. And so he takes that opportunity to tell them, listen, I'm about to leave, and you have to stay close with me. You have to stay with me. Because as the true vine, if you're the branches, the vine is your source of life. Once we get disconnected from the vine, we start to die. Just like you pull grapes off of the vine, eventually they're okay for a while. They go to the store, we can buy them, and they last for a few weeks. I don't actually really know. They last for a while. And I'm terrible at buying grapes. Why do they even make seeded grapes? Is that when there's the ability to have seedless grapes? I don't know. Every time I go to the store, I never look, and it's a bad deal. But just like the grapes, I get pulled off. Eventually, when they're disconnected from the vine, they're okay for a while, but they start to die, right? Jesus is saying, I am your source of life. If you don't stay close to me, if you don't stay connected to me, then you eventually begin to die. And this metaphor is even better in some ways than some of the others. We have other metaphors. Even in John, he talks about how we are like sheep, and God is our shepherd. And actually, we have a video that we're going to look at. Did anyone see this story in the last few weeks? This jogger in France was out running, and this herd of sheep got lost. And they just started following her, because that's what sheep do. And she stopped and talked to this other guy hiking, and he videoed this. And as she's running, these sheep just think, hey, that's my shepherd. I'm going to follow her. And so they just kept... they just kept going as she ran. And so the Bible calls us sheep sometimes, and that's a good metaphor for us. Sometimes we are prone to get lost and we lose our way, and we need someone to take care of us in that way. But even greater, you can go ahead and shut it off, Carter. Even more important than a shepherd is to his sheep is a vine to its branches. See, the sheep, they're fine. Like, they ran away from whoever was supposed to take care of them, but they're going to survive for a while at least, as long as something doesn't come and eat them. I mean, they'd be fine, right? But this metaphor is a little different. Jesus is saying, no, as soon as you get severed from me, it's death. As soon as you get disconnected from your source of life, you start to die. And that's why he's pleading with his disciples here, stay close to me. Stay with me. Don't wander off. Don't get disconnected. Stay connected to the vine because I am your source of life. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. Here's the first indicator of whether or not we feel like we're connected to Jesus. Is our relationship in a place where we're actually connected to the vine? Jesus says here, if we are, that God is going to prune us. And I think on some level we understand this, right? We have rose bushes and trees and things like that that we cut back because it's good for them. And at first, that's a hard thing to understand, right? That you would cut away something that's living and healthy in order to make it more healthy, right? That seems backwards. But sure enough, if you have a rose bush or a tree and the time comes whenever you cut those things away, after a few months, it comes back better than it was, right? And it's not just the dead branches that get pruned. Sometimes it's things that are still alive that need cut back so that other pieces of fruit can flourish and become even more healthy. And so I wonder, how often do you feel like God is pruning you? Have there been moments in the last few weeks and months where you felt like, man, there's this attitude that I have that God has been calling out in me and trying to get me to adjust? Or there's this phrase I say that I know I shouldn't, and for a while I thought that wasn't a big deal, but the more that I stay connected to Jesus, the more he's pointing out these things in me that I have to work on and get rid of. Or maybe it's a sin in your life that you know you have to get rid of, and it's just difficult. You don't want to do it, but you feel like God is laying that on your heart. See, if we're actually connected to Jesus, there's going to be those instances. He promises that for our health and for our good, he is going to clean us up. In this text, it actually uses both words, prunes and clean, but the original word can mean both. And I think both are very fitting for the situation. The idea of pruning gives us a very vivid picture and goes really well with this metaphor he gives us for the vine. But to clean up as well paints a different picture. Sometimes we think we have to clean ourselves up before we come to Jesus, but really Jesus accepts us, the sinful person that we are. But just because he accepts us that way doesn't mean he wants to leave us that way. And once we come to him and choose to follow him, he then begins to clean us up with the idea of making us more and more into the image of his son. Cutting away the sin, cutting away the poor attitude, the language, even sometimes cutting away things that really aren't that bad, so that something better can come. And so I wonder, do you feel like you've been pruned? In Job chapter 5, we have a passage where Job has gone through about as terrible of a situation as you can experience. His kids have died. His livestock has been taken away from him. He's been afflicted with boils all over his body. And he goes through this period where he's kind of complaining and crying out to God. And some of his friends show up and they're just with him in the moment. And one of them says this to him in verse 17 of Job chapter 5. So see how happy is the person whom God corrects. So do not reject the discipline of the Almighty. For he wounds, but he also bandages. He strikes, but his hand also heals. One thing we have to remember, and maybe a mark of discipleship that we have to understand, is that the pruning is a blessing. It doesn't seem like it in the moment. No one wants to have things stripped away from them or cut out of their life. We don't want to have to go through the work of God cleaning us up and turning us into the image of Jesus. But when we understand that he's doing it for our good, even though it's uncomfortable, even though we don't want to go through it at the time, when we remember, okay, God is the gardener and he's doing this for my benefit, it makes it a little bit easier to endure those moments of pruning. The pruning is not a punishment, it's a blessing. He goes on to say in verse 4, "Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me." The other indicator that we see from this text is the question, are we producing fruit? God says, if you're connected to the vine and you're healthy, then the result of that is that there's fruit going to come. And so I wonder, does your life produce the fruit that it should? In a different text, Jesus puts it this way in Matthew chapter 7. Verse 16, he says, "You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a bad tree produce good fruit." That's a pretty simple thing to understand. He says you don't get figs from thistles. We wouldn't expect to pick an orange from an apple tree. And so just like an apple tree produces apples, a Christian should produce Christ-likeness. The fruit of the Spirit, is it evident in your life? Love and joy and peace, patience and kindness, are those things evident within your life? Is that the kind of fruit that you are producing? See, if we're being Christ-like, we should be quick to forgive and extend mercy to people. We should be caring for the poor and the outcast in our society. We should be freely giving of our time and our resources and our money to give back to God. We should be looking more like Christ every day, because that's the kind of fruit that a Christian produces. And so I wonder, does your life look like that? And if not, it's time to maybe check and see, am I still connected to the vine like I should be? Am I producing the fruit that God promises he will bring about if I stay close to him? Finishing up, it says, "If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you." What he says is exactly what we have to do in order to stay close with God. It's the same thing that we probably tell you every week in Sunday school or from this stage. We have to be in the Word. Jesus says, if my words remain in you. See, the only way that we get to know Jesus is by spending time in his Word, by connecting with him in that way, by learning his character and learning the way that he has called us to live. If we don't take seriously our time in this book, then our relationship doesn't look like the one that is close with God. It looks more like the first two examples that we talked about, where it's just there occasionally when we need it or once a week. But that's not what God calls us to, because the vine is the source of life. And he says, if you stray from me, there's death. Stay in my word. And maybe for some of you, maybe you just don't like to read. And that's fair. I mean, there's days where I spend a lot of my job reading, and there's days where I just don't want to do that. And so maybe you're just a person, you're like, I haven't read a book since high school. There's different ways to connect with God. The YouVersion, the Bible app, you can hit play and it will read it to you. So maybe that's a better way for you. You're never going to be one that sits down and just opens your Bible and reads it. But maybe while you're sitting there, or you can listen on your phone. There's different ways to go about that. And so if you've never tried those, I would challenge you to do that. Find a plan, a 14-day plan or something. Just try to get started. And I promise you that once you do, and once you dig in and see the amazing benefit from being in God's Word, you will keep wanting to come back, because that's how we stay close to God. There's one other thing that it mentions in here, that kind of the sobering part of this passage that Jesus talks about. He pleads with the disciples to stay close, remain in me, stay connected to the vine. And he mentions what happens if we don't. See, in keeping with that metaphor, he talks about the branches that would be cut away from the grapevine. And those wooden branches really weren't good for anything. You couldn't make anything out of them. They weren't even good to keep a fire going. But what they would do, they would just gather them up and throw them into the fire, because there's no purpose to them. Church, there is a day of judgment coming. God pleads with each one of us to stay close to him, stay connected to him. Spend time with me so that you remain in me and I remain in you. And for those who don't, there is an eternity waiting, completely separated from God, out of relationship with him for all time. And that's why Jesus pleads with us, stay with me, because those who don't face hell. But those who do get to have a relationship with me forever. A few weeks ago, we were here at youth group on Wednesday night, and the meal had finished up, and there was a few minutes before class was supposed to start, so the kids were just playing basketball and volleyball and everything, and Mallory was helping clean up the kitchen. And so Elisha just kind of wanders a lot of times, and he's over here a lot. He knows where the rooms are that have toys and things like that. And after a few minutes, I started to look for him. I was like, man, it's weird. I haven't seen him in a while. And so I checked the preschool room. That's usually where he goes first. He wasn't in there. So then I checked another classroom, and again, he wasn't in there. So I was like, I wonder if he's in here playing the drums, because I'm sure most of you have heard him at some point after church or before church banging on the drums. And I started walking towards the auditorium, and I didn't hear anything. And so I was like, he's probably not in there. But I came in here anyway and wasn't around. Wasn't in the nursery. So I walked back in, and I started asking the kids. I was like, hey, have you seen Elisha? And no, we haven't. And so I was like, okay, well, that's weird. And so I find Mallory. I was like, hey, is he in the kitchen with you? And I just missed him. And he's like, no, I haven't seen him in a few minutes, you know. And at this point, I start to get a little worried. That may seem silly because, I mean, it's not like we're at Walmart and I can't find my kid. I mean, we're in a safe area, you know, and there's like 20 of us here. But in the back of my mind, I start to think about the worst case scenarios, right? Like, well, man, what if he fell and hit his head? Or what if he got into the maintenance closet and got into something that, you know, would be really bad? And so I start to get a little worried, and I check those same rooms again, and he's not there. And I'm asking the kids, and they're like, oh, we haven't seen him. I don't know where he's at. And so I was like, maybe he went upstairs. He doesn't usually, but maybe he's up there. And, you know, I'd asked some of them that were up there, and they hadn't seen him, but I was like, maybe he's just in a room or something. And so I go up there, and finally I find him in Mallory's office messing up the copier and playing with office supplies and stuff. And I was so glad to find him. I was also, you know, kind of mad at him because he wandered off. But I just wanted to grab him. And he's like, man, like, buddy, you got to stay close with me. And I wonder how often God feels the same way. I wonder how often he just wants to grab us and pull us up on his lap and say, you got to stay close with me. Don't you know what could happen to you if you get away from me? Don't you know that you're lost without me? Don't you know that I want to know you and I want to be with you? I want to hear from you. Don't you know that I want a relationship with you? God extends that invitation to each one of us. And if you've never done that, I promise you it's better than anything you've ever experienced. Or maybe you've strayed in that relationship and you want to get connected back to the vine. If either one of those things are the case, we can help you do that. We would love to talk with you about that. Would you guys pray with me? God, it's an amazing thing that you offer us life in general. It's amazing that you want us, our sinful, undeserving selves, that you want to know us and you want to hear from us. You want us to share our burdens with you and our cares. God, help us to want you as much as you want us. God, we love you. We thank you for Jesus and his life and death and resurrection that gives us that opportunity. God, we thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.